Open up our Bibles this morning to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 14 through 29. I've entitled the message, A Lesson on Faith. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in the chair in front of you, grab a Bible. If you don't own a Bible, just let us know. We'll make sure you get a Bible before you leave. Don't want to pay for your first Bible. It's free from the Lord. Mark chapter 9. If you're there, give me a hearty amen.
Amen.
All right, beginning in verse 14. And when he, that's Jesus, came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with him. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeting him. And he asked the scribes, What are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Then Jesus saw that the people came running together. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, He's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why couldn't we not cast it out? So he said to them, This can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. This morning we're looking at a wonderful story of a son being delivered. And as we go through this, we're going to see it has to do, this story in application has to do with the subject of faith. Faith. There are two parties that are singled out in this story concerning faith. And this morning I pray that we can draw some good application in our lives concerning faith. Simply trusting in the living God. So I have 3 points this morning that are going to be on your screen. And if you're a note taker, you can jot them down. They all start with the letter P. The first one is the pleading father, verses 14 through 18. Then the powerful deliverer in verses 19 through 27. And then we'll conclude with the powerless disciples in verses 28 through 29. So let's begin in verse 14, dealing with the pleading father. Pleading father. And when he, that is Jesus, came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. If you were with us last Sunday, Jesus was on the mountain, portion of the Mount Hermon, which is in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, took them to the mount, and he revealed his glory to them. We saw the amazing event that took place. The disciples were in awe when they saw Jesus, and we also saw that Elijah and Moses were on the mountaintop. It was a glorious event. Three disciples up there got a glimpse of Christ and his glory. And in verse 14, as we begin our text, Jesus came down the mountain. He begins to head towards Galilee. We see that, and we're going to see it next week when he actually passes through Galilee. But he heads down the mountain, and his goal is to meet the other nine disciples that are there. So that kind of gives us the introduction in verse 14. And notice that when he came to meet the rest of the nine disciples, there was a great multitude there, a huge multitude. And the scribes are also with him. And if you remember the scribes, they are part of the sect called the Pharisees. They were the predominant religious leaders of that day. By the way, you could thank the scribes for the manuscripts that you have today that have been passed down, because the scribes, that was their job. They were the experts of the law, and they wrote on the pen, if you will, to the quill of the paper, the words that we have today of the Bible. But the scribes were part of the Pharisees. They did not hold to Jesus being the Messiah. They rejected him clearly. And we're going to see this more as we get closer and closer to the events pertaining to the cross. And then in verse 14, it talks about that the scribes were disputing with the nine remaining disciples. They're disputing in front of the crowd. And what are they disputing about? Because the disciples could not cast out a demon within a son of a father. And no doubt they're gloating over the scene, saying, "Ha! You claim to be followers of the Messiah. You claim to cast out demons, and guess what? You can't cast out this demon that is in this boy." And they're gloating over this in front of the huge multitude that's around. And if you've been with us, the huge multitude contains Jews and Gentiles. And being that they're not quite yet in Galilee, the predominant group there are Gentiles. Certainly, no doubt, Jews are present. And within the multitude, Jesus constantly healed those that were sick. He casted out demons from those that were possessed during that period of time, and also rose those who were dead to life. Jesus was there. The multitude was aware of it. But we see that the demon wasn't cast out by the nine. And then we jump to verse 15. It says, "Immediately they saw him," that's Jesus, "all the people, they were greatly amazed and were running to him and greeting him," this enthusiastic crowd. Verse 16 says, "And he," that's Jesus, "asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them? What are you discussing with my nine disciples?'" Jesus confronts the scribes. Now, the scene begins to interrupt with a father who comes on the scene. Look at me at verse 17. "Then one in the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit.'" That's interesting. This father brought, past tense, his son to the nine disciples. And a text says that he had a mute spirit. That is, he wasn't able to speak clearly. Now, in verse 25, we are also told that this son was also deaf. So you have an individual who's mute, can't speak, and deaf, he couldn't hear. Now we're going to find that it's not from birth that this individual had. He had a demon within him. Let's continue in verse 18. And it says, whenever it seized him, that's the spirit seized him. When, we don't know. We're going to find out in a moment from when he was quite young. But it seized him. And look at the results of this demon possession. It throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. Now this is one powerful demon. Threw him to the ground. This young son was uncontrollable. Not only did he throw him to the ground, he foams at the mouth. You can imagine the scene here. And he became rigid, stiff. Tough, tough scenario. You know that this father comes to Jesus with a big, big need pertaining to his son. And look at the rest of verse 18. This is the telling of the story. It says, so I spoke to your disciples, that's the nine, and they should cast it out, but they could not. This is interesting. I came while you were on the mountain. I came to the nine disciples, and they couldn't cast out this demon. Again, the scribes are gloating in this. The multitude's curious because they've seen Jesus do the massive miracles. But the disciples couldn't cast it out. Now, if you remember back in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, Jesus gave power and authority to the 12 to heal the sick and cast out demons. But they couldn't do it. And the question is, why? Why couldn't they do it? We're going to get to that in a moment. So they couldn't cast out demons, yet despite Jesus commissioning them that they have the ability to do this. So we go from the pleading father to the powerful deliverer, and that's going to be our Lord Jesus. Look at verse 19. He answered him, that is the father, and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Jesus cries out, faithless generation. No doubt he's speaking about the whole generation during Jesus' lifespan. Certainly applies to Israel, right? Israel followed Jesus for the wrong reasons. They had a shallow faith, if they had any faith at all. They loved the miracles. But Jesus is pointing out specifically the nine disciples that are following him. And it's key to catch that they lacked faith. Hence, Jesus says, faithless generation. They lacked faith. They had the gift to where they can cast out demons, and they lacked faith. Then it jumps to verse 20. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, this is key, this is the demonic spirit within this man. Look at the results. It says, when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed in him. You can imagine the scene. He's shaking. He's convulsing. Why? Because the demon recognizes Jesus. He's convulsing. And next, he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Dramatic scene here. Fell to the ground, wallowed, foamed at the mouth. Let me just say something. This is one powerful demon. Now, if you're familiar with the scriptures, there are classes of demonic beings. You guys remember the passage in Ephesians 6? For we wrestle not against flesh and what? Blood. but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of this dark age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. There are demonic ranks, if you will, classes in the spiritual realm. You might remember Daniel chapter 10. You have a situation in Daniel chapter 10 where an angel of the Lord is brawling, if you will, with a demonic host. And the Bible describes him as the prince of Persia. And he's struggling. The angel that is sent from God is struggling with this demonic host called the prince of Persia, who's over the land of Persia. And by the way, I will say that this demonic being is still there today. He has a stronghold over that nation. And what happens is you have Michael the archangel, a powerful angelic being who begins to take over and wrestle against this strong being. And he gets victory over this being. So this tells me that there are classes in the demonic realm that are powerful, but not stronger than God's angelic beings. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Classes. And this is what the disciples have encountered, a strong demonic being. Verse 21. So he asked his father, while this is taking place with the son, he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. Imagine his father coming to the disciples, no doubt desperate. He's got a son who's been possessed from childhood. Had to have been hard for this father throughout his life dealing with this young boy. It doesn't mention a mother here. Obviously, there was a mother at one time. Maybe she's still there. Maybe not. We don't know. The text doesn't tell us. But it had to have been difficult for the father to handle this son. No doubt they had to have a guard around this young boy because of these events. He has, if you will, convulsions, seizures. Not a medical condition, but a spiritual condition. Hard for the father. And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus poses a question. And he continues in verse 22. It says, and often he has thrown him, that's the young boy, both into the fire and into the water with the goal of destroying him. So that's Satan's goal. He wants to destroy this young boy. He doesn't just want to play around with him, mess around with him. He wants to take his life. And when this young boy is thrown in the fire, you know this is someone who wants to take his life. Notice he must have had burn scars all on his body. Again, ostracized from society. The father's desperate. The demon wants to kill him. But look at the last part of verse 22, and I love this. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This is a plea from the father. A plea, a crying out. If, that sounds a little conditional, doesn't it? If you can do anything, if, maybe you can do something. That's important to catch this because Jesus certainly catches this and Jesus certainly knows the heart. If you could do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Please show compassion. And we know our Lord is compassionate, right? We've seen through the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has demonstrated compassion on people. He healed people. Because he was a compassionate and is a compassionate God. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
He's compassionate. He's loving. He's caring. When he fed the 5,000, he didn't want to send them out to go home alone because some traveled from long distances. He had compassion on them and fed them. So he's asking, please have compassion if you can do anything. Look at verse 23. This is interesting. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, that's faith, all things are possible to him who believes. I love that. If you can believe, all things are possible. By the way, all things are possible with God. Everything is possible with God. Now, I remember something that Charles Stanley said, and I never forgot it. There are some people in Christian circles that God is doing miracles, casting out demons left and right. Every minute you turn around, they're casting this out or doing this, healing this. And that's not accurate. And then you got another group of Christians. Well, God just did that during Jesus' time. And it's just not for today. That's wrong too. All things are possible with God. Amen?
Amen.
God works providentially through the wills of people to accomplish his goal. And he could divinely intervene any way he wants, because all things are possible with God. So whatever circumstance you're in, all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
Important to catch this. It's just not during that period of time. I hear that all the time. It's not accurate. All things are possible to him who believes. Now, it's interesting that there are times that Jesus healed people, and we saw this in Mark's gospel, who had no faith. No faith at all. Jesus healed them. Why? Because he's compassionate. Why? Because he's loving. Why? Because he's caring. He's love. But here, there is a condition, if you will, upon this man's faith. Or in other words, God is saying through the person of Christ, look, I will heal your son, but it's going to be conditioned on your faith. Important to catch that. It's going to be based upon what you believe. Look at verse 24. Immediately, the father of the child, look at this, cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. This guy's full of passion. This guy believed. He's crying. He not only cried out, but he's crying real tears. I believe, Lord. Help me with my unbelief. Have you been there? I have. Yep, I believe you, Lord. But there's something in me. It struggles. I believe, Lord. Lord. Then we jump to verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Jesus comes in his own authority as the Son of God and says, I command you, in modern day vernacular, split. Take off. Scram. Vamoose. Hit the road. He's got to go. He's got to go. Enter him no more. Verse 26. Then the spirit cried out, look at this, and convulsed in him. This is the demonic spirit. Convulsed in him. And he came out of him. You could imagine his body trembling. But he's got to leave. And he came out. And he became as one dead, so that many said he's dead. You could picture this active spirit within this young boy, convulsing, foaming at the mouth, and all of a sudden, kaboom. He's laying like a dead man. And the people are like, he's dead. He's dead. The spirit has no more power over this son's life. He's dead. Huge crowd around as they gathered. Look at verse 27. But Jesus took him by the hand. I love that. And lifted him up. He took him by the hand. Gentleness of our Lord just takes him up. Come on, son. Come on up. He lifts him up. And he arose. Multitude were probably like, oh, he did it again. He did it. Fascinating. Motionless, uncontrollable shaking. As a dead man, Jesus lifts him up. That's glorious. Let's look at our final point, the powerless disciples. And here's where we get to the core or the meat of our discussion. Verse 28. And when he, that's Jesus, had come into the house, what house? We don't know. His disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? Why couldn't we cast this demon out? We laid hands on him. Nothing happened. Why? Good question. Matthew chapter 17 records the same account and gives us some additional information. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 is on your screen. I want to read it to you. He said to them, when they asked the question, why couldn't we cast it out? He said, because of your meager faith or your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Of course, Jesus is speaking metaphorically here about mountains. Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. He's saying, you guys have little faith. It's all you need is faith of a mustard seed. Now, if you're familiar with a mustard seed, it's the smallest seed in the land of Israel. It's tiny, very, very small. He's saying, you guys had little faith. They had faith, but little faith. They gave up. They quit. What they lacked was a faith, and this is key to catch this in our own walk, a faith that abides, a faith that continues. It just doesn't have faith. I believe, and nothing happens. You shrink back. That happens to us. They lacked a continual faith. Listen, a persistent faith. That's what happens to us when we go through trials. Lord, I'm trusting you through this. A day later, my circumstances didn't change. Wringing our hands, getting frustrated, getting mad. Lord, why is this happening? You know why we're like that? Because before the trials come, listen to me, before the trials come, we lack spiritual disciplines with God. Trial hits, what am I going to do? But if we have spiritual disciplines continually in our walk, that is, spending time with the Lord, trusting the Lord, knowing His promises, when that trial comes, when we have our spiritual disciplines in place and that trial comes, you're going to have enduring faith. Sometimes we get hit and we don't know how to handle it and we shrink back and our faith disintegrates. Some of us stay in that period for a long time and we go, God, where are you? God wants to use that circumstance you're in. Maybe it's not demon possession for a son. Maybe it's a trial in your life where He's saying, look, you got leveled with this trial. It's time to get back to spiritual disciplines in your trial. Get back to it where you cry out to God, God, I need you. Lord, increase my faith. Spiritual disciplines. Lord, I'm getting back to your word. I'm going to go back to your promises and what your word has to say. Lord, I'm going to seek you out in prayer because I need you in this storm. Either we respond that way or do we just mull it over and go, where's God? Where's God? Amen? That happens. Then you find out what you're really made of in the trial. And the Lord, through the trial, wants to increase our faith. So that when another trial comes, you'll know how to handle it better. Because you're already, get this, you're already functioning in spiritual disciplines. So when that trial comes, it's going to be a lot easier than it was the first time. So instead of murmuring, complaining, the Lord is saying to us, get back and start disciplining yourself spiritually. Right? We discipline ourselves physically. Some of us go to the gym and work out. I'm all for that. It's a little hard sometimes and just don't have the desire, but I'm all for that. But what about spiritual disciplines? The disciples had the ability, because of Christ, they gave up. Why couldn't we cast it out? Jesus says, you had meager faith or little faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened, here it is, in faith, giving glory to God. He's talking about Abraham. Abraham is the he. When it came to the promises of God, Abraham didn't waver. Spiritual disciplines. Abraham's like, when it comes to God's promises, I'm trusting. Now, did Abraham get in the flesh at times? Yeah, he did. Shouldn't have went down to Egypt, and he did, when the famine took place, and he got in all kinds of trouble in Egypt. Lord's going, you should have stayed straight like I told you, going to Canaan. Abraham's human, right? But when it came to the promises, he still knew that God was going to take him to the promised land. He didn't waver. He looked at God's promise and said, I believe it. I believe it. Promises of God. That's what we have to do. We have to turn back to the promises of God. And in verse 29, he ends it here. He says, not only is it a lack of faith, a consistent faith, he says to them, this can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. In other words, this kind, this is the strong demon. You guys are just going to have to continue in prayer. Fasting. Then you would be able to do it. How was their prayer life before this event? I don't know. You got to wonder. How's your prayer life? Oh, I can handle this trial. Some of us can't even handle 11 people on the 10 people checkout line at the grocery store. You're counting people. I can handle it. All right? Prayer. Faith, prayer, spiritual disciplines. So let me close with this. So worship team comes forward. Application points here. How's your walk this morning? How is your walk with him? Are you tight with the Lord? Are you spending time with him? Are you spending time in his word? Are you listening to him when you read the Bible? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Are you abiding in the word? Staying in the word? When a trial takes place, does your faith get leveled? And when your faith gets leveled, do you have a hard time recovering? You might find it has to do with spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines. When we function and operate in discipline spiritually, it's going to help us remain and endure in faith during the trials of life. You might get knocked down, but you're not going to get knocked out. You're going to get back on the horse because you're in tune with the Lord. We get knocked down in life. We all do. We all have a little faith. But do we come back up? Do the disciples come back up after this event? We're going to see. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for this lesson on faith, Lord. And Lord, how we need to mature in that, Lord. And it's coming to you, Lord. It's coming to you day by day, trusting in you, trusting in your word, having faith. Things fall apart. We know that you're in control. We trust in you. And when we find your will in the matter, you give us that discernment, and we can stay plugged in during the trials of life, Lord. Lord, we believe. Help us with our unbelief at times. Help us to trust. In Jesus' precious name, all God's people said, amen. Amen.